There are several interested parties here, representatives of OCDLA, the Criminal Defense Lawyers Association, the Governor's Council, as well as John Collins from the Yamhill County District Attorney.
Why don't you go over for the committee the three issues of the bill that we're dealing with here?
Right. If you'll turn your attention to the first page of the amendments that I've typed up, I'd remind the committee these are in concept form. These are amendments on 275 that have been suggested by OCDLA, and they are, as I said, here to answer questions. The first major ground or major proposed amendment is one that I think Senator Shoemaker originally raised as an issue, at least remarked on it, and that amendment would amend out unavailability of the child as grounds for allowing hearsay statement. If this amendment were adopted, it would leave the bill in a position where it would still allow hearsay statements to be brought in as corroboration of the child's testimony when the child testifies. The further amendments are basically options to delete grounds for allowing hearsay in, and those grounds are incompetence or lack of memory. They would delete those from the definition of unavailability. The committee could choose to adopt deleting one or both, or for that matter, neither of those. Finally, at the bottom of the page, you'll find some additional language under paragraph D, and that language was originally suggested as a substitution for deleting incompetence or lack of memory as grounds for unavailability. That language was suggested by some national bar materials and basically says that the child is unavailable when the child persists in refusing to testify because of fear or some related reason, despite repeated judicial requests to do so.
Okay, what's the pleasure, folks? I guess I want to make sure that we have the what we're working from here. We have a piece of paper. It says Senate Bill 275, proposed amendments compiled by committee council March 89. On the second page, you have amendments which have been agreed to and are drafted by committee council, and we have them LC'd, is that correct?
They have not been LC'd.
Okay.
In the hand engrossed version, they have the amendments of Roman 2, right?
That's correct.
Not the amendments of Roman 1.
Correct. It only picks up those amendments which have been agreed to.
Pardon?
The hand engrossed version only picks up those amendments that have been agreed to by the parties.
Oh, second. Those, but not those. Okay.
Chair is about to move the bill.
Madam Chair, I would move the Roman numeral 2 amendments.
Senator Hill has moved the motion, the Roman 2 amendments. And essentially what we've done here is
could go through those again.
I think you better do that.
These are basically miscellaneous amendments that were seen as improvements, I think, by the parties. They are in concept form because, as I said before, I consider drafting a technical skill, and they would have to go through LC, but I think they're pretty close to the shape that they should be in. The First Amendment, all of these are on page 3. First Amendment is on lines 4 and 5. It adds the language and is subject to cross-examination. This is just language that was seen as an improvement to make clear that this section applies to statements made by a child, and the child is subject to cross-examination. The second change is the language that's added on line 9. Lines, uh, the sentence starting on page 7 with the added language would read, however, when the child is unavailable as a witness, the statement may be admitted only if there's corroborative evidence of the act of sexual conduct and of the defendant's participation in the conduct. That, again, was a suggestion by the folks from OCDLA. They wanted it to make clear that it wasn't just the sexual act that's corroborated, but that there's some evidence tying in the defendant's participation. The next amendment is down, you'll see on lines 11 and 12. This is the notice portion of the bill, the requirement that the prosecution make known to the defendant ahead of time that he intends to offer this kind of statement. Rather than sufficiently in advance, we thought it was better to have a specific time limit. 15 days was chosen because that's the time limit in the rape shield law, which requires the defendant to file a notice of intent to offer other evidence of other sexual conduct. The next one down on line 4, if you'll recall, there was testimony that incomplete memory could mean virtually anything. All of our memories are to some degree incomplete. It was agreed that substantial lack of memory was more appropriate. The next change down on line 16 changes the word may to shall, so it's clear that the court shall hold a competency hearing. The next change, line 18, the examination shall be conducted in the presence of the attorneys is the added language. That was implicit in the bill, implied in the bill, we decided to make it explicit. There is also an additional change that was the result of the hearing we had before in line 18, and that's add in the word as before the last two words in the line, before the word designated. And that's to, that was language suggested by the Governor's Council, that's to make sure that...
after the word adult...
after the word adult, before the word designated at the end of the line, in line 18. And Corey can explain that further, but that's to make sure that the court has some control over the parties that are present. Next change on line 21, we wanted to make the language consistent throughout the bill, so guarantees was changed to indicia, and because that term is used previously. And then finally, the last change that was agreed to is language down on line 25 and 26, which simply makes clear that any motive the person may have to falsify or distort the statement can be looked at as well, and that's the person who's relating the statement supposedly made by the child.
Madam Chair,
yes.
Just a okay. Little thing on line 11 and 12. Is that for good cause shown, or?
Mm-hmm. It should be shown. And on line 14, it should be substantial lack of. Add the word of.
Senator Hill has moved the amendments as we've just defined. They are listed as number 2 on the second page. Are there objections? So ordered.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 275 as amended to the floor of the due pass recommendation.
Okay. Senator Shoemaker.
I noticed in my packet some amendments proposed by the REM Psychological Association. Have we considered those, or did I miss it in passing? To add a new sub 5 on page 1, and dated today, so it's got to be very current.
That's the amendment that I mentioned just a moment ago as the new ones that we have gotten in.
Then that hasn't been moved into the bill.
It has not.
Okay. I guess I haven't. I wasn't focusing when you were talking, Jack, so I wasn't quite sure what you're talking about. So what this does then would allow into evidence statements made by a child under 10 to a licensed mental health care provider for the purposes of diagnosis or treatment of a mental or emotional disorder. As far as those statements are reasonably pertinent to that diagnosis or treatment. It's getting at a different problem, isn't it?
This is language that parallels the medical statements made to a medical provider exception. It's a different part of the hearsay statute. It does not incorporate portions of the bill that we have before us as far as the factors to be considered by the court establishing reliability and that type of thing. It's a fairly separate amendment. And it's more akin to the traditional medical exception.
I guess I think that would broaden it up to a whole lot of...
There's no court issue.
Right, and there's not a court control of it all over. So I guess I'm not inclined to assumption that we should consider it. Certainly, at that, not at this stage, and it's quite different. Everybody, I see people shaking their heads as well. We have, Senator Hill has moved the amendments, and we have adopted those amendments, and now Senator Hill is moving Senate Bill 275 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We have some agreement. We're not going to consider the amendments that were presented to us today. Further discussion. Senator Springer.
May I inquire, I'm sorry I didn't make this motion of the OCDLA amendments that were not the basis for consensus. I guess in sub that appearing on the first page of the compilation.
Mm-hmm. You should have moved them.
Well, I would.
You could have moved them.
Well, I could make the motion to substitute, but if I'm the only one that's interested in that motion, I'm not going to put us through that exercise. But
We're in a work session, and I don't think we've had enough discussion of the amendments that have been offered. But if that's the will of the committee,
if I'm the only one interested in it, then I'm not going to impose upon the committee's time this evening. There's not significant interest, but I, just for purposes of the record, I thought I ought to make the inquiry, make sure we had the opportunity to address that yay or nay.
I suppose we could consider that as a as yet another option that sort of doesn't wipe out all of the amendments that have been made by adopting the motion that we did, Senator Springer. But I'd like to hear some discussion on that, folks.
Madam Chair, I looked at those earlier today, and if I understand correctly, the thrust of those amendments taken together is that the child must testify. Isn't that it? And if he does, then under appropriate circumstances, you can also bring in the statement that he made at the investigation.
That's right.
Yeah. Listen, the DLA approved the minutes we adopted, according to this.
Pardon?
I say did not, according to this, the OCDLA, which is this, the Roman numeral 1 amendments, they agreed with the ones we just adopted, it says in here.
Right, except that they want more. They want the bill to actually require that, to delete the opportunity for the witness, for the victim not to appear, if that's correct.
Or that's correct with respect to paragraph A. It's the remaining paragraphs seek to narrow those circumstances when the child is considered unavailable.
So essentially, if you look at it backwards, what you have here in ascending order, you have the amendment that we've adopted that everybody agrees to. You have a series of amendments actually... sub D, which the Governor's Council has said ought to be added to the bill, which we could in fact add. And we have you could go up and say that the, that the, that, that incompetence, that you, that, that the only thing that you could see lack of memory really would be the reason for unavailability. And we're talking about the reasons for people being declared unavailable to testify on their own behalf. C deletes incompetence as a ground for that alleging availability, and B deletes the incompetence and the lack of memory as grounds for unavailability. So they are, and then finally you get to A, which in fact takes out the witnesses. You can't really proceed at all unless you have the witness in the as a. So these are, this is, as I see it, how one might progress in that order if one were interested. Okay. Senator Springer, I don't hear anyone else who's interested in joining him on that.
That leaves us with D then, doesn't it?
I'll take it in this form with this amendment, these compromises, but that's about the extent of what I'm interested in.
Senator Shoemaker, are you interested in moving D?
Well, I guess I'm interested in at least considering it. That would add to the present provisions regarding unavailability that it's a child unavailable if he persists in refusing to testify because of fear or some related reason despite repeated judicial requests to do so.
Or do you want to come up on that one? Sure.
I think it's worth thinking about.
The OC, I'm Edward Jones with the Oregon Criminal Defense Lawyers Association. David Groom appeared before you before on this bill. He's in trial on a death penalty case, and so I'm here. I also have with me Steve Anderson, who's going to be handling legislative matters in the future for the OCDLA on many of these kinds of bills. Your Honor, excuse me, my old habits die hard. Madam Chairman and other members of the committee, we supported D as an alternative to some of the language in, currently in the bill. We would not support it as an addition, since it's our position that the bill as written, while it would solve the hearsay problem, does not address the constitutional issue of both under the federal and state constitutions. Our state constitution says that you have the right to confront the witnesses face to face. Those are the exact words of the phrase. And what we end up here with is a situation where someone could be convicted of one of these crimes without the child ever being under oath or being in the courtroom or in fact ever really even knowing that the conviction occurred. And that's our concern, is for the potential conviction of innocent accused individuals in situations where the child is never present and indeed has no awareness of what has happened to the innocent accused.
Or you want to respond to that?
Madam Chair, on the constitutional issue, and I don't want to get into it in detail and repeat the prior testimony, but the bill was drafted in response essentially to an invitation from the Oregon Supreme Court in the State versus Campbell case, where they indicated that the problem with admitting this kind of testimony was the lack of a legislative statement that this was an appropriate exception to the hearsay rule. That's the last expression we've had from them on the topic. On the question of this specific amendment, we would support the proposed amendment as an addition but not as a substitute. That is, the bill as written, we believe, strikes a good balance, and the language in D would provide an additional grounds for unavailability that we believe is reasonable, but an additional ground rather than an exclusive ground.
Madam Chair, Corey, I take it you believe that that concept is not included in any of the other provisions in the amendments that we are considering.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, that's correct. Currently, refusal to testify due to fear, as I understand it, would not in itself be grounds for a declaration of incompetence.
You know, one of the other issues here is we also have the second bill, 516.
We're not going to talk about that right now.
I agree, but it has an impact on this because it allows a situation where the fear problem gets resolved by a separation of some kind. So it addresses precisely this fear situation. So the two bills do interconnect in that manner. And frankly, it would be my position that 516 would render this language unnecessary.
Madam Chair, Senator Shoemaker, the language in D was not our proposal initially. 516 is intended to address the issue of fear created by the courtroom setting, and I think the statement is quite correct that it solves some of the problem. We certainly wouldn't oppose inclusion of the sub D language in the bill. We think it would be somewhat of an improvement, but it's not an issue that's of great importance to us.
Question, call for the question.
Okay. Senator Hill has made the motion to move the bill to pass to the floor, and he's now calling for the question. Just to call the roll, please.
Brenneman?
Aye.
Rodman?
Aye.
Renzi?
Aye.
Hill?
Aye.
Shoemaker?
Aye.
Brenner?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Thank you very much. Now, let's move on to 516. This is the bill dealing with three issues, Jack.
This
would
is
you like
the
to explain them?
This is the companion bill. It deals, as the chair said, primarily with three issues. The first is the use of closed circuit means to broadcast the child victim's testimony into the in the courtroom. There is the deposition language, which would allow the child's testimony to be taken before trial, whether it be the day before, several days before, or weeks, and have the deposition, much as is used in civil cases, used in this criminal case. And then finally, there is the language which relates to shielding of the accused from the alleged child victim in the courtroom as well. You'll also see a similar sheet in this file. It's entitled Proposed Amendments to Senate Bill 516, March 1989. Again, these are amendments that I have drafted in concept form. Roman numeral 1 are amendments that are agreed to by representatives, well, the same folks that we've just been dealing with. There are two primary agreements. The first one has to do with clarifying the child's age. It was decided that this is intended to apply to children who are under the age of 10 at the time of trial rather than some other benchmark. The second amendment deals with those situations where the state is trying to employ one of these alternative methods at trial and is trying to show there's a substantial likelihood that the child will suffer severe emotional and psychological harm. That amendment would require that that be established by expert testimony. I think the feeling was that we don't want a situation where perhaps an overzealous prosecutor would come in and just make assertions, but rather that the court and all the parties involved would be more get more benefit by having it established by an expert in the field who can actually say whether the child is going to suffer psychological harm or not. Those are the agreed to amendments. You'll find those in the hand and gross bill that's attached. There are two concept or amendments in concept form from OCDLA. The first would delete the new statutory scheme for providing for depositions in these types of criminal cases. The second would delete the also a new, somewhat novel statutory scheme for shielding of the defendant from the view of the alleged victim. The committee could choose to adopt one or both of these. If both of them were adopted, you would be left with a bill which still provides for getting the testimony of the child by closed circuit television, but contemporaneous with the trial. The final amendment, Roman numeral 3, is an amendment from the Yamhill County DA, and that provides that only the DA, and it should be the child rather than the court, only the DA or the child could move for a deposition of the child. That's intended to preclude defendants from moving from depositions. That's something that prosecutors, I think it's fair to say, have long been concerned about defendants gaining that right, and it's a battle that's been waged on other occasions, but it would limit the deposition procedure to that at the request of the DA or the child. So again, there to summarize, there are three main parts of this bill: contemporaneous closed circuit television, deposition scheme, and the shielding scheme.
Senator Springer.
I'd like to suggest that we proceed only with the contemporaneous video operation closed circuit at this time. This is a new and difficult area of the law, which raises, I think, some serious questions that even the proponents would acknowledge. And I think it's best to avoid raising additional questions which may threaten the constitutionality of the entire measure with the idea of perpetuation / depositions, or with the third proposal with the shielding, which may raise questions, also striking down the whole effect with a face-to-face issue. I would prefer, I guess, for a couple reasons. First, I don't want to lose the whole thing because we try to do too much. And I also, I guess, in this area where we are kind of trying to expand the frontiers, if you will, it might be best to adopt just the first approach. I think that will deal, I hope, with the circumstances that bring this measure before us. And depending upon the success in the next couple years or whatever period of time is allowed to operate under that system, I certainly would be the first to work with the proponents or others who are interested in this topic just to see whether or not further refinements are necessary. I just advance that as a point for discussion.
So,
thank you, Senator Redmond.
After listening to this bill over a number of, seems like hours, maybe it's not been that
it's
long.
It's been hours, in spite of what people say.
I do not feel comfortable with it. Of the bill in just about any form that I've tried to come up with, and I just don't see myself being able to vote for it in just about any amended form.
Anyone else have a comment? I have a concern, I suppose, with I have concern with the shielding on, notwithstanding the question of whether we could try to make it constitutional for the U.S. Supreme Court. I do think that that's one of the areas that probably, in my own mind, would affect the jury. And so I would like to see the bill move without that part. And I suppose, again, the deposition part is a real, we better try to perfect the videoing first and then use it as a deposition. It can be cut both ways, or to either further beat up on the child or make it easier for them. So, and we're not sure how that would play yet. I mean, pardon my, we're not really sure how that would work, you know, whether it would, depending on the case, a deposition could turn out to be problematic for the child as well. So I'm willing to look at Senator Springer's suggestion. I would like to hear from other people.
Senator, on the, I think we're dealing sort of broadly on two issues. One is whether or not what we're what is being proposed would pass constitutional muster, and secondly, even if it would, is it wise? On the constitutional question, as I understand it, the Supreme Court is almost inviting a jurisdiction such as ours to try it, because they split 4-4, and the ninth member wasn't there at the time. Or at least you can analyze their vote to show that they would split 4-4. They appeared that that's probably where their split is. So it's one of those cases where I think, for constitutional reasons, it's probably appropriate to go ahead and do what we think is best, and let the constitutional chips fall where that court decides they should, and not shrink from doing this because we're concerned about that. I mean, I think it's a legitimate enough issue that there's nothing irresponsible about adopting this legislation. So I guess I wouldn't want to vote against it on the constitutional question. Now, the other question, whether it's wise, I admit I'm having more trouble. I guess because I haven't been in that arena, I don't know. But if it's enough of a problem,